This episode of Anxiety Slayer is brought to you by How to Calm Your Fragile Mind. Get the course today and save 30% with the coupon code SPRING at anxietyslayeracademy.com. Welcome back to Anxiety Slayer. I'm Shan Vanderleek here with my wonderful friend and co-host Ananga Sivier. Today we're exploring the connection between living life on autopilot and the rise of anxiety. We'll uncover the power of choice, the importance of embracing change, and the remarkable adaptability of our brains. Welcome back, Ananga.
Hey, Shan.
What a gift to share a conversation about how you can break the cycle and get yourself off of autopilot.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite topics.
Yes, and it affects all of us in one way, shape, or form. And I didn't really realize until, I don't know, some time ago, how much that autopilot is not in our best interests.
Yeah, and how we can slide back into it as well. We might have made some changes and become aware of what serves us better, but there might be some travel, holiday, illness, adversity, and then we slide back in. So I think it's very helpful to be reminded regularly.
Let's start by a conversation about what it means to live on autopilot. Have you ever found yourself going through the motions and just not being fully present in that moment? That's autopilot mode. That's a state where we are operating mechanically, but there's really not any conscious thought or awareness. It's kind of like cruise control on your car, if you have that, where you're just coasting down the road without truly engaging in your experiences.
Some of us are more introspective by nature than others. So in our daily choices, in our exchanges, in the way we're choosing to move through our life, some of us are naturally more introspective and we'll look at things and make choices, and others simply aren't. But either way, there's anxiety there when we're not living consciously. Whether it's our nature or not to introspect, the anxiety comes up. I heard this recently as a really solid example of somebody that isn't introspective by nature, but experiences a lot of anxiety rumbling under the surface. And sometimes we feel that's just who we are and that's just how we are, but it doesn't have to be that way.
And when you're stuck in autopilot mode, we're giving so much control away. And that contributes to feeling anxious and feeling powerless. Think about scrolling, how you can have a phone in your hand and be scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And what have you just given away? And how much are you letting in?
Yeah.
And if that's something that you enjoy doing, and I enjoy doing it on occasion for sure, set a timer and give yourself amount of, you know, I'm going to mess around and scroll over here for 10 minutes or whatever you choose, so that you are making a choice about what you're inviting in and that it has a beginning and an end.
Yeah. So often we'll say we don't have time to do something creative, some writing, make some art, connect with somebody that we want to have a deep conversation with, read something that's been sitting by our chair for months. And when we're intentional about the time we spend on social media, we can prune it back and regain time. And that can be such a calming practice in and of itself, such a rewarding thing to make choices in things that we feel nurture our mind and contribute to our life. We have more time than we think if we prune back on the things that, when we're on autopilot, just leech in. It's so easy on social media to, you know, for example, Instagram, it's so easy to pick up your phone and look at one thing after another, and before you know it, half an hour's gone.
Mm-hmm. Or with Netflix or one of the places where you can watch movies or shows or whatever. And how many times do you hear about people talking about, oh, I just binge watched this particular show or that particular show or whatever? That's hours worth of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a wonderful, fun thing that you've done. And no judgment, just be mindful of that, because that is a lot of time that you are giving to sometimes entertainment and sometimes on autopilot to distraction. You're just asleep at the wheel and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, and the challenge then is that we become passive observers rather than active participants in our life. We're not connected to the things that give us some juice. I read a book recently from a 102-year-old doctor, Gladys McGarry, and she talks about looking for the juice in our life. It's a wonderful book. So that can be something that we just fall into, and then we don't feel satisfied, and we go to bed and think, I don't really feel satisfied with how I've spent today, and it can roll over into weeks and months, and we're not nourishing ourselves, and we can almost lose respect for ourselves with that. We just don't feel satisfied with our level of engagement in life, how we're spending our time. Maybe there are things we want to learn, and we feel like, oh, I always say I want to learn that, but I've not really got on with it. So moving into action from autopilot is a very healthy thing to do for the mind.
And sometimes it's a challenging thing to do, and it's okay. Just keep trying.
Yeah, change is challenging. Noticing is challenging, but it's a healthy challenge. It's a good challenge, especially if we have company that supports us, or we have some accountability, or we can be journaling and logging what we're doing and just noticing how that's helping us feel more engagement, feel more settled. There's certain things I do in the day, and I know they help my mind feel nourished, feel awake, and they help keep my nervous system in a healthier state. They help keep anxiety in check. So it's good if we're aware of those things, and then we know where to turn.
Dr. Joe Dispenza is somebody I have a great respect for, and he's a renowned neuroscientist and author. And he said that change is the end result of all true learning. This quote beautifully encapsulates the importance of embracing change when you break free from autopilot living. And as we mentioned, it can be daunting, especially if we're accustomed to routines and patterns that are familiar. But it's through the change and through the choice that we break free from the shackles of autopilot and really open ourselves up to new possibilities. One of the things that I've learned from Dr. Dispenza is how our brains play a crucial role in this process. And if you know anything about neuroplasticity, this is the brain's ability to reorganize and form new neural connections, which offers hope for all of us who are seeking to break free from autopilot patterns. I love his book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and his most recent one, I think, is called Supernatural. And I will say these books require your attention and focus. So if you do decide to read either one of them, take your time with it. You will learn so many practices that help you bust through this easy place that happens to all of us and going back to what we've always done or what we've always known. He invites us to engage in mindful practices and intentionally make new choices so that we can rewire our brains and cultivate new habits that serve our well-being. And this also ties into Ayurveda.
Yeah, Ayurveda, India's ancient science of life that we often talk about on the show, very much there in the teachings of how our brain falls into these grooves of repeated thought patterns and how we have the opportunity to notice them and change them. Ayurveda recommends self-observation as a daily practice, an ongoing practice where we're checking in and reflecting on our choices in all areas of our life. And this can be especially helpful with good guidance, talks with a trusted friend or a professional, seeking professional support in exploring our patterns, choices, and aspirations. I think it's especially helpful if it's somebody that knows you and somebody you can trust. Before we started recording today, Shan, you were offering me some reflections on something I've been navigating in my own life for the last few years. And when you said, can I reflect back to you, I immediately grabbed a pencil and a piece of paper and wrote some of your thoughts down because I knew they'd be good. I knew they'd be going in my journal, and I'd be very grateful to think them over later and come back to them. It's such a gift when we have someone that knows us well and we trust, and we can navigate together and support each other. Such a helpful thing when we're trying to make changes in our life, or we're trying to move into aspirations, areas we've wanted to explore. In the West, we tend to think that we're born a certain way. How often do we hear people say it, particularly older generations that just say, well, that's the way I am.
Yeah.
And while it's really helpful and healthy to accept our nature, we have a nature, we can change. We can still change. And if we're not happy with a certain way we are, or if a certain way we are is causing our nervous system to be under more duress, or the nervous system of other people around us to be under more duress, we certainly have an opportunity to review that.
Yeah.
And make changes. There's so much we can do if in understanding our nature more deeply and what we have to work with. And Ayurveda offers such a wealth of wisdom in that area.
It really does. And as do the people that you love and trust, because they're the ones closest to you who see your patterns sometimes before you see them, or maybe at the same time that you see them, because they've been in your life, because they care, because they're paying attention, and they might notice something, that invitation, that reflection for you to sit with, so that you can make different choices, should that be what's called for.
Yeah, very valuable.
So then, how does all of this relate to calming anxiety? How does breaking free from autopilot living reduce anxiety? Well, it brings us right back to mindfulness, bringing awareness to our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, bringing everything back to this moment, so that we are not fretting about the past or freaking out about the future, which lead to some of these autopilot choices. By practicing mindfulness, you create this new safe space where you're making choices, where you're looking and saying, oh, you know what? Rather than pick up the phone and scroll, I'm going to go make a cup of tea. Or rather than put on another movie, you might love to color. You might even have the coloring book and pencils that just sit on a shelf day after day. Or you might like to read, or you might like to write poetry, something creative that you think, oh yeah, I'm going to get to that, or maybe this weekend or whatever. Well, what if you made that choice now, instead of scrolling, or instead of watching a show, or instead of allowing yourself to fall into that regular scheduled programming of your mind? I promise you, if you make that choice to color or do one of those other things that you enjoy, you'll be really happy for it.
Yeah, I think our challenge now is it's just so easy to click on a TV, pick up a phone, and we say we want to get out of our head. There are things that aren't comfortable that we want to just not think about, not be with. But unfortunately, those activities are stimulating to the nervous system. They affect our sleep. They bring more incoming information, which we often share is a teaching from Ayurveda, all about the root cause of anxiety. That information coming into our head, you know, a lot of what's lined up in places like Netflix is there to grab your attention, and it's fast paced, lots of sound, lots of color coming in, taking over our senses, and the senses are feeding into the mind, and the mind just becomes increasingly fatigued. So anything we can do that's a single pointed focus, a creative, quiet pursuit, really helps us spare our mind.
Exactly.
Calm and steady the mind. Making choices that support our peace of mind also protects us from rushing into actions that are going to cause more stress and strain on our nerves. Sometimes when we're overtaxed, we're living without awareness, we're on this automatic role, we become rash or impatient, we're out of balance, we might make decisions that don't serve us well, we might make them socially, we might make them nutritionally. We might think that, okay, just this morning I'm going to grab a cup of coffee and a pastry because I'm in a rush, but it's not going to serve our anxiety well. or it's going to fuel our anxiety. And before we know it, that can become a habit that you've been doing every day for weeks. And then that's going to have its roll-on effect. So the more present we are and the more we're living with intention and awareness of our choices, the more we can switch up and make choices that are going to support our nervous system. And that's how it affects anxiety, because we're not inadvertently feeding it and increasing it, but we're trying to soothe the fire in the mind. We're trying to calm things down and think ahead a little bit with choices like breakfast, hydration, pausing with social interactions. There's so many things where we get that space and that pause, and we can think, hang on a minute, if I do this, is it just going to feel worse later on, or is it going to set something in motion that maybe feels chaotic, more stressful?
And it really is a long-term investment in self-care. This is where we're giving ourselves room to learn and adjust and to make choices that are better suited to our nature. And even though it's long-term, that doesn't mean you don't notice the benefits soon. And then start to really notice that you're in a better space of coping, and you have strategies and choice, and your perspective will start to shift.
Yeah, and we can ease back to prioritizing a home-prepared breakfast that's part of our self-care routine, a morning routine that supports us, even 5 minutes breathing when we get up, or some, as we shared recently, bouncing on your heels, qigong, get the energy in the body moving after sleeping, whatever it is that works for you. And again, it's about knowing ourselves, knowing our nature. What helps me? I've been listening a lot in the last couple of weeks to people sharing what helps them personally. And I've got some good ideas from that, and also realized that we need different things according to our nature and our responsibilities, how our day looks, what we can fit in, and what feels good for us. For me, now the weather's warming up in the morning, I like to get up and open the back door and step outside, hear the bird song, and stretch, do some breathing. And that's something I really miss in the winter, the opportunity to do that. So I'm very grateful that that opportunity is back. And that serves me really well. I might have the kettle boiling while I'm doing that, and then I can have some nice herb tea. And we all have different things that we need. So again, it's about awareness and knowing what suits you, keeping an eye on it in a journal, and you can adjust and tweak seasonally or according to different times in your life. But it's just so nice to have that anchor where we know what helps us.
Ananga, you recently mentioned a book from Julia Cameron, who I love. I used to teach The Artist's Way to a group of women and loved that book. And I haven't read The Right to Write. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, she's written so many books, and this is one that I'm enjoying at the moment. It really is about reclaiming our creativity and settling into writing, and that's something I'm wanting to do more of at the moment. So I'm enjoying that. But as with all good books, there's lots of lessons along the way. So I read a story that she shared this morning about her friend Richard, who swims every day. He swims in the ocean every day, and he sits and writes in his notebook, and that's his daily practice. And he describes how he acts his way into right thinking. Even if he doesn't want to swim or write that day, he does it anyway because he knows he'll feel better for it. And he also described, you know, what happens if he doesn't do that and how that doesn't sit well with him. Also hearing from a friend that's a seasoned meditator last night, sharing how she has her tricks with her mind in the morning, where there might be mornings where she gets up and she's settled and she can settle into her meditation practice, and other mornings where her mind's being a naysayer, it's objecting, it's tired, whatever it is. And she has her tricks for getting the mind to cooperate. She describes it as being like a child that you have to sometimes bribe or bargain with.
I don't feel like it.
Right. You know, you hear mums in the supermarket with things like, we're going to do this and then you can have a treat. She said she's always bargaining with her mind like that. And she actually called it a mind control technique, which made me really smile.
That's funny. And it is, isn't it? Well, even when you said acts his way into right thinking, if we can look at it that way, it's a little bit more fun and an easier way to just get on with it and to do really what is going to make you feel better for having acted into that right thinking.
Absolutely. And we always feel better for it. There's so many things that we know benefit us: meditation, walking, maybe swimming, qigong, breathing, time with that special friend where you can always have a good conversation and you know it's going to help, but the mind is being obstructive. And we just need to be open to making that choice and recommitting over and over again. I've heard somebody else say in spiritual practice that it's about recommitment. We can't expect to commit and necessarily that's going to hold for a lifetime. We need to recommit. And when it's mind care and personal practices, we might need to do that every single day. But it puts us on such a smoother path than being blown around by the dictates of our mind.
And you can celebrate each time you recommit. We'll wrap our conversation today by just going back over some practical tips for breaking autopilot patterns and how you can cultivate more awareness. And that really begins with and ties in beautifully with talking about meditation, but watching our thoughts and emotions as a detached observer. Oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, your mind went there. Oh, that's coming up. What's that all about? And then letting it go and continuing to practice letting it go. Sometimes things stick. Sometimes they hook you. But if you can be detached and practice just letting things flow by, you might have a good laugh. Some of the things that go through my mind in a 10-minute period of time when I'm by myself are just wild. It can be a wild ride. But you just watch it. Be like, huh, that's interesting. And then also pausing, slowing down, taking a breath, taking a moment to ask yourself, is this choice going to serve me well? Is this a good choice for me right now in this moment? Be mindful. And then looking closely at all of our choices throughout the day, our nutrition, our social life, our creativity, what we're letting in, what we're putting out, knowing where we need to connect or want to connect and how we feel nourished. All of that plays into this, and it doesn't need to be a big deal. It's just daily change, daily choice.
And that desire for a deeper engagement with our life rather than living on the surface. I read from somebody I regard as a mentor recently. She describes herself as a deep sea aquatic. I thought it was really interesting. And she said that on the surface of the ocean, on the waves, it's very choppy. You've got all the weather above the ocean and on the surface. But when you dive deep, it's calm. You're under the waves. And I thought that was quite a beautiful meditation. I did a little sketch of it as a dolphin just diving deep into a place of peaceful reflection under the waves. That's really the blessing of not living on automatic pilot. When we're living automatically, we're on the waves. We're just chopping our way through, but we can duck under. We can go deeper, and that's a much more peaceful place to reside.
Living life on autopilot contributes to anxiety by disconnecting you from all of your choices and experiences. But by embracing change and harnessing the power of mindfulness and the potency of what happens in your brain, that neuroplasticity, you truly can break free from these autopilot patterns. And you can cultivate a greater sense of presence and fulfillment in your life. Thanks for listening to Anxiety Slayer. This episode is brought to you by How to Calm Your Fragile Mind. Get the course today and save 30% with the coupon code SPRING at anxietyslayeracademy.com.